Good morning. This is Brass Tacks Sunday, and I am Dr. Christina Hines. Today is the 21st of March, 2021, and that is World Down Syndrome Day. I know some of us wore our socks on Friday to mark it and to raise awareness, but today is the actual day. Today is also the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. So these are the days that we can mark and think about during, well, this is the day that we can think about these things. Also, today we will be thinking about something else during this discussion. We will be talking about corruption and integrity mechanisms. And just to preface this discussion, I read a February 2021 report that notes that Barbados is the least corrupt country in the Caribbean. Why are we talking about corruption then? Why have we had debates about integrity legislation in this country? Why is this a big issue if this is the least corrupt place in the Caribbean? Is that really something that we should celebrate? How high is corruption in the region in any case? One of the things that I also like to focus on and really to refute is this notion that Barbados is a middle income country. And when we look at the World Bank classifications, for instance, Barbados, along with the Bahamas, we have a guest today with us from the Bahamas. These countries are noted as high income countries. And there are some who may assert that there is this connection between level of economic development, in inverted commas, and having lower levels of corruption, and therefore corruption is an issue related to low-income countries. There's this kind of binary setup that places that are underdeveloped and so on are more corrupt, whereas more advanced places are less so. So I want for us to have a discussion about this today, and I have a really useful panel with us, so I'm going to introduce them. We have Dr. Ronnie Yearwood. He's a lecturer in law at the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus. Welcome, Dr. Yearwood. We have with us also Crystal Howell. She's a certified auditor and chartered accountant. We have Miss Cynthia Barajel. She's senior lecturer in political science at the University of the West Indies Cave Hill campus. She also published a book that addresses corruption. And she created a course at UWI in political science that addresses corruption as well. So she has quite a lot of expertise in the area. And we have with us from the Bahamas, as I mentioned previously, Mr. Matthew Aubrey. He's the executive director of the Organization for Responsible Governance in the Bahamas. So welcome, everyone. Thanks so much for sharing your Sunday.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Christina.
Thanks for the invitation.
Good to have you. So to start things off, we talk about corruption a lot. There are a lot of things that we call corruption. If somebody is working in a particular area and they give a job to their cousin, we would say that's corruption. Is that corruption? What are we talking about when we use this word corruption? Are there a specified set of activities and actions that fit into this category of corruption? Is corruption different from clientelism, nepotism? What is it that we're talking about? Who wants to start with that one? Mr. Aubrey.
Good morning, and thank you so much for the invitation. I'm very proud to serve with this esteemed group of leaders in this field. When we talk about corruption, really, at its core, it's any use of public influence, public resources, public funding to benefit an individual or a group of individuals unfairly. So based on a personal relationship or based on some sort of advantage or quid pro quo or enrollment. So when we talk about corruption, all of those things that are known to be very common in Caribbean lifestyles, like, you know, getting around the system, because we all deal with systems that may be slower or filled with red tape. So finding a way through the system by finding somebody you're related to, paying a little tip money, as we call it, to move your document along further, get access to a public service, all the way up to money ending up in the pocket of a politician to get a government contract. And that range is one concept, and it's hard for, I think, people to understand that they are the same continuum. Everyone would agree that when somebody, you know, it's thief and puts some money in their pocket and you know walks away so that they give away a government contract, that is not okay. But hiring a relative more because of their surname than because of their qualifications may just seem like how you get by here, because you wait till you have somebody in place and then they pull you along, and that's built into culture part.
Right. And you would say that is corruption as well?
It starts on the same, right? It's the same continuum. So mm-hmm. If you think about the behavior chain, when you're, you know, let's say you're waiting in line and you decide you can't wait for, you know, 20 more minutes or an hour to get to the front of the line to get your license or your registration done. So you find somebody that you're related to, or you find somebody who will take $20 on the side to move you up in the process. That starts a level of behavior that permits the types of behaviors that end up with politicians taking funds. And you could say, well, you know, there's really wrong and there's only slightly wrong. But the truth is, it all starts with inviting a culture in government where it's a pay-to-play culture. Okay. Whether it be small pay-to-play or big pay-to-play, it follows the same chain and the same acceptance.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Barajels, would you add anything to that, or do you have a different perspective?
Good morning, Christina. As I said, thank you for inviting me to participate on your panel. Before I, sort of give you my take on what corruption constitutes, let me just one correction. I did not develop a course on corruption. That was actually developed by Joss Stritton from, Trinidad. I did review what he, sent in, but I am not the person who actually is the author of the course.
Okay.
I'm just associated with it because I encourage him to submit it to the department.
Okay.
I want to endorse what Matthew, if you don't mind if I call you by your first name, I want to endorse what Matthew had to say about corruption. Christina, the bottom line is that there are, in fact, several, I think, perspectives on corruption. But essentially, Matthew covered the ground. There are people who, in fact, believe that bribery is not a form of corruption. Mm-hmm. And insofar as the Caribbean is concerned, what we have seen is that there is extensive abuse of not only public office, but also private office. So that what Matthew did was, in a sense, focused on public sector corruption or governmental corruption. But we also know that corruption, in fact, exists as well in the private sector. In fact, if it was not for the interface between the public and the private sector, perhaps some of the forms of corruption that we'd experience would not take place. So that when we talk about corruption in the Caribbean, we look at several types of corruption. We look at issues of what we call economic crime, which is the highest form of corruption. We look at, and this includes things like graft. And we know that in terms of the scandals which have taken place in the Caribbean, we have been exposed to a number of instances when there's been tremendous graft in the procurement process, for instance. So that we can talk about UDCOT in Trinidad and Tobago, which was a major scandal. We can talk about we can also talk about what took place in Antigua and Barbuda in terms of the medical benefit scheme. And almost every single Caribbean country, we see that kind of economic crime occurring. We also know there are tendencies which variously have been described as unhealthy or misconduct, etc. So there are various forms of corruption. But essentially, it really means that there is an abuse of office, and that abuse of office is intended to benefit the person who is engaged in the abuse of that office, or otherwise engage in the abusing of the office in order to, of course, facilitate some person out there in the private sector, or alternatively to, of course, reward their friends or their family, etc. So that is very broad in terms of our definition of corruption. As we go along, we can, in fact, zero in on some of the particular illustrations of corruption across the Caribbean.
Okay, thanks so much. Crystal, you wanted to say something, it looks like.
Hey, yes. I just definitely want to endorse everything that has been said and to just give a definition as to how internal auditors view corruption, which is basically the misuse of entrusted power for private gain. And to emphasize what's been said before, it doesn't say for large private gain or significant private gain, it just says private gain. So the consequences of this would dictate as to whether, if it's obviously a significant private gain or misuse of entrusted power, then you would make sure that you address this to suit. But the idea is that there is no big corruption, small corruption, it's just corruption. And fraud is separately defined as an illegal act that's characterized by deceit or concealment or violation of that trust. And they're not dependent on the threat of violence or physical force. It is simply perpetrated by the parties or organizations to obtain money, property, or services to avoid the payment or the loss of services or to secure personal or business advantage. And the unfortunate thing is because there's been a lack of education within many sectors of Barbados as to the differences between some of the cultural practices that we have versus being able to characterize them as corruption or fraud, many of the things that we go about and that have become intrinsic in our day-to-day behaviors and patterns have been seen as normal. And therefore, we do not even recognize sometimes that the things that we do may be considered as corruption or fraud. And this is where the impression may have come along that Barbados is not a corrupt society, because we don't even recognize that some of the acts that we are perpetrating would fall into that category.
Okay. Christina, if I may, before you turn your gaze on to Ronnie, I just Please. Want to pick up on something that Krista said here a while ago. I don't think there is the perception that Barbados is not a corrupt country. And I heard you, when you started the program, speak to the fact that in terms of the more recent, I think, Transparency International and That's right. their Corruption Perception Index, they did in fact indicate that Barbados is the least corrupt in the Caribbean. But that is not to say that Barbados is not heavily corrupt. That is not to say that there's not wide-scale corruption in Barbados. Not because Barbados is the least corrupt in the Caribbean. So the perception indexes does not in fact translate to the absence of corruption in the country. Because we have seen a number of things, whether or not we can prove it, and that's part of the problem. You can't sometimes, that is what is so vexing. It's just about corruption, especially when it comes to the bribery issue. And it's also very vexatious because we do not have the laws currently on the books which will allow us to, in fact, determine whether or not corruption is taking place. So I've always said to people, part of the problem in making a determination as to whether or not there is more wide-scale corruption involved in the country is the fact that we are lacking in some of the mechanisms that other countries possess, which will in fact lead us to a conclusion, lead us to make a conclusion that in fact corruption is more widespread than in fact the data would seem to suggest, because of the absence of those mechanisms, which doesn't allow us to capture some of the corruption that is taking place there. And before we move on, because I know you spoke about, you gave an illustration, for instance, and asked a question initially about whether or not that constitutes corruption. And I'm very happy that Crystal, in fact, spoke to the issue of culture, because certainly political culture is a critical issue. We can't, and the question arises to whether or not we can, in fact, piggyback on what is essentially a Western political culture and then try to impose it on us and say that we have to accept what those Western countries are saying in the way in which they're trying to normalize certain practices. In the Caribbean, we know there are certain things we have done and we continue to do, and it has in fact been accepted by not only politicians but ordinary citizens. However, I want to make the point that we need to zero in, and this is a problem. We need to zero in on issues of favoritism and nepotism and the cronyism that takes place routinely in Caribbean countries, including Barbados, for which we make excuses. So that sometimes, you know, people would say, "But I'm only doing my friend a favor." I'm saying, "But you're acting corruptly." Because certainly if I came to you to assist me, you would not assist me because I'm not a friend, and therefore I'm not your friend. And therefore what you are doing is to use your office, you're abusing your office in order to facilitate your friend in a way that I'm not being facilitated. And not only are there democratic consequences to that, but it's a clear example of what constitutes corruption. And when people say, therefore, that Barbados is not corrupt, it goes to the fact that, unfortunately, many of us have not, in fact, been educated on what corruption is all about. So that when we talk about, and I guess we're going to get into that, but when we talk about the need to control corruption, it's very important for us to engage in an educational program. Because there are people who genuinely do not see it as corruption. There are people who see it as culturally determined, and therefore it is in fact acceptable. Yes.
Okay. And that's about
the interjection here.
Before you all go on, I just want to remind those listeners out there that you can join this conversation too by calling us at 434-1790, or you can join us via the WhatsApp chat at 266-4862. Yes, Ronnie, you wanted to join in here. And I also would like you to, if you could, tell us if there's a specific legal definition somewhere, whether for Barbados or a more generic one, that tells us what corruption is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me start by just piggybacking a little bit on what Cynthia and Crystal and Matthew were saying about the culture. And I think that's really, really important because it puts in context the law, because what we recognize and what we're going to recognize throughout this entire conversation is that we can have as many laws as we want until we start to zero in on the culture, the application of those laws, even when we have the right mechanisms in place, will become very difficult. And I really want to draw out the point that Cynthia made about clientelism and meritocracy, because that in the Caribbean is at the heart of corruption. And you know, sometimes we commonly joke about it as yard foulism. We talk about yard fouls, and we talk about political yard foulism, and we talk about people getting picks and people getting on boards and this happening and that happening, and we're not having the right persons in place to do particular jobs. And somehow we see that as just innate within our culture to recognize that we need broad cultural change when we're going to address corruption. Because as Cynthia rightly said, sometimes we don't even recognize, or people don't recognize, that it is being an act of corruption. If, for example, you're on a board or you're in a government position, but you're using that position to obtain benefits for your private company or for friends in a particular private capacity, that's just seen as, well, okay, well, I'm just trying to feed myself, buddy, what's wrong with you? You know, you're trying to take bread from my mouth. And that is really part of the problem, because when you put that as an argument to persons, they're like, well, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, everyone does it, this is part of the culture, but that needs to be changed. So I just want to say that to give a little context. So even when we look at the laws, and we can look at the Inter-American Convention Against Corruption, we can look at United Nations Convention Against Corruption, and there we can find very fixed definitions of corruption, and those definitions would cover a lot of what was already raised. So, for example, corruption is seen as an act or omission by a public official in a discharge of his duties for the purpose of illicitly obtaining benefits for himself or for a third party. So you can see that it's really broad. They said obtaining benefits. That could be economic benefits, that's personal benefits, that's giving benefits to a third party, that's to your family, that's for your friends. It's an act, so it's something active, you're actually doing something, or it's an omission. It comes about in a discharge of your particular duties. And that's when we're looking at corruption from the end of the public official. But as we rightly said, you also have corruption from the end of the private sector. Because often, and you know, this is the argument that you would hear, it takes two hands to clap. Mm-hmm. You can't be corrupt on your own. You can't, you know. Yeah. So there has to be part, when we talk about corruption, we have to shine a light not only in terms of public understanding or public corruption, but we also have to look at the role of the private sector within the Caribbean. And that opens up all sorts of debates about underdeveloped private sector, one that is driven in large by procurement and government contracts. So then we see how that circle of corruption is perpetuating. Because if you're a private company and you're not actually a proper active private company within, you know, how we understand private companies, but really your business depends on procurement and contracts for government work, then you can see the elements of how that particular corrupt practices may start to fester if the government is the one literally feeding you.
Okay. Well, thank you. We're going to have to take a break. We'll come back and speak to Mr. Aubrey, because I know he has something he would like to say. Today's program is brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. This is Brass Tack Sunday.
You depend on BRC for genuine permaclad, colorclad, and permaseam steel roofing products. But did you know you can depend on VRC for installation too? That's right. VRC has several experienced roofing teams to handle your roof installation professionally, using tested and proven fasteners and methods with satisfaction guaranteed. When it comes to roofing, there's no substitute for experience, and VRC's crews will give you a great job at a great price. Have your roof installed by the experts. VRC.